This is Father Amaladas speaking about Father Kovlenbach. Father Kovlenbach was a very holy person, very much committed to prayer, though he followed his own Eastern rite, Armenian rite, for the daily liturgy. He got up very early, around 3 or 3:30 in the morning every day, and spent time in prayer. He never left any work on his table when he went to bed, so he had his mornings free for prayer. He lived very poorly. He had one pair of shoes, I think. He used to travel with one or two changes of inner linen, which he used to wash himself. When he passed through Madras once, Jerry helped to replace his torn banyans. He could go on a long travel with one small handbag that contained all his personal effects. His room was bare except for a table and two chairs, no pictures or photographs. Apart from a small tape recorder which he used to listen to news and to learn languages, and a book which he was reading at the time, and the files that he had to look at that day, there would be nothing on his table. He had very few needs. He used to walk to the other nearby houses in Rome, like the Gregorian, Gesu, Bellarmino, etc., not to speak of the Vatican. He was an able administrator and a good diplomat. He succeeded in a year or two to restore the good name of the society before the Pope and the Vatican. He was a good judge of people, and he adjusted himself accordingly. Many cardinals used to confide in him. After all, he was the Black Pope. He was a great listener. At the same time, he defended the society. He brought calm after the storm that hit poor Father Aruppe. The society itself did not change much, but he brought back a balance and was able to present it to the world as committed to mission and to the church. He had a good political sense. He always sought a consensus among the consulters before taking any decisions. Systematically, he renewed the society. He wrote letters about every phase of the life of a Jesuit from the novitiate onwards. Having lived in the Middle East in the midst of the Israeli-Arab conflict and a multiplicity of Oriental churches and rites, he must have learned his art of diplomacy there. He was sensitive to the cultural differences and religious pluralism. He had a great memory for names and faces as he traveled round the world. He was a learned man and a scholar, a voracious and fast reader. He prepared all his speeches and letters himself. He spoke many languages: German, Dutch, French, English, Arabic, Russian, Armenian, Italian, and Spanish. Maybe others too, like Hebrew, since he was a scholar of linguistics. He was a very humble person. He never showed off. He adopted a low key in the groups of generals in Rome. He refused to become their president of their union and remained in the background. Yet many generals, male and female, used to come to him for advice. We can imagine his being a librarian after he retired as general. He was a very patient man. He once suffered from herpes. It is supposed to be a very painful disease, but only a few people in the Curia knew about it. He went about life as usual. He did a great job with GC 34. GC35 and GC36 have not really added much to it in substance. He was a very private person. I do not know whether he had any close friends. He was friendly with his own province Jesuits when they came to Rome. He spoke little about his family. I do not remember anyone from his family visiting him in Rome. And yet he was never too busy to miss community get-togethers. He used to come up for coffee after lunch. In the summer, he used to come to the terrace for the weekly evening drinks. But he kept his distance, not in an authoritarian way, but in a personal way. I have never heard any critical remarks about him. He knew how to get on with people of different sorts. In my own case, when I had trouble with the Vatican, he was very supportive and diplomatic. He must have heard the criticisms of the Vatican about me. He must have read himself some of my writings to see what I was saying. He must have got also expert opinions from others, theologians from Gregorian, for instance. But he never made any critical remark to me. When he retired as general, he sent word through someone in Rome to encourage me to continue my work. He was theologically open, though he never spoke about it openly. I used to discuss theology freely with Adolfo Nicolas, but not with Kolvenbach. He was very defensive of all the Jesuits with problems with the Vatican. Of course, he could not help when the Vatican went above his head to act directly in some cases, or when the Jesuits concerned did not cooperate. But he never forced anyone to do anything against their will. He respected their freedom. Given his international experience before he became general, he really had a global culture. He was especially supportive of the Third World. Brother Tony Crasta of Bangalore, who spent nearly 25 years in Rome with him, told me yesterday that he had a great love and concern for the brothers. He was not a charismatic figure like Arupe, but a solid, dependable, firm, and wise leader. Thank you.